freedom of jail, clips inserted. A baby's being born, same time a man is murdered. The beginning and end. As far as rap go, it's only natural. I explain my plateau and also what defines my name.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and boy, do we have a show for you. There's so much to talk about from an amazing NBA draft last night. So give us a call. You want to join us on the journey, 718-664-9098. Like always, send us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website. We got NBA draft information, just questions, NBA stuff, everything, baseball, football. You know what it is, rayandtaytoday.com. Twitter and Facebook the same. Hit Ray and Tay up. We are interactive, and we're here for you, man. What's up, Ray?
Yeah, well, usually we do a bunch of things on the show, but today the focus is the NBA draft and all the happenings in the NBA with free agency, with trades that are yet to be approved. But it's crazy. Exciting as if you're an NBA player. But 12 people got drafted and traded, or 11 people got drafted and traded last night. 12 people came or were born outside of the U.S.
Yep, seven in the first round.
Surprise number one. So, wow, just a lot of exciting stuff if you're an NBA fan.
Hey, Ray, listen, I know how you feel, man. I just want to say one quick thing, because I know, you know, it's sports and it is news and we're doing the draft, but I just got to say, man, it's going down with Aaron Hernandez. You know, I can't resist because it's so compelling to me. And the one thing I'll just say that I've never seen before, and I don't know if you can correct me if you remember with Ray Caruth, this I've never heard of. The NFL has erased him and his stats from their website. I'm blown away
by
that.
That's crazy.
I'm just
blown
away.
I never heard about that, especially not even letting due process. They must.
Yeah.
You know what it is? The NFL must have some kind of in with the prosecutors, and they must,
and
as a courtesy,
it's looking very bad. Yeah.
Some information, because for a society that's based on due process, you know, the guy was.
Right.
It's one thing to get cut. It's one thing because the Patriots
yeah.
have that right to cut him, and even if it's just a sniff of impropriety, but for the
right.
league to eliminate his stats, like poof, the magic dragon,
yeah.
as if he doesn't even exist. Wow, that's.
But they did go back in the house 4 o'clock in the morning, and the text messages from Odin Lloyd to his sister. Did you see who picked me up? NFL, you know, just in case, so you know. And all this and that, they went back and forth with, you know, the reading the text messages. It was chilling, right? That's all I got to say. It was chilling. Boys and girls, just respect the laws and respect each other. That's all I can say. Yo, were you psyched, shocked, or just dumbfounded, surprised, overly happy that the number one pick, the first Canadian taken number one overall ever in the NBA draft, and we might be saying the second next year with Wiggins, Anthony Bennett from UNLV, you know, comparing him to LJ, 6'7", almost 6'8", with the sneakers on, 240, and now they're saying he's at 258, 257, 3'4", but very solid, Ray. What'd you think about the Cavs and potentially drafting at number one a player that might come off their bench?
So that pick is growing on me. With
I like
the
it.
Cavs, you know, at first I said, what are they doing, right? Taking a freshman, they're so young. They got Tristan Thompson, and they've got obviously Kyrie Irving and Deion Waiters and so forth. But I said, you know what? They're adding talent. And like their GM
yeah.
said, if he's the best player on the board, don't get cute. Don't try and trade down and get extra picks, and especially if you might miss him. So the most NBA ready or potential of that whole group to me is Ben McLemore. Just because he's a little bit of a head case, but he's 19, 20 years old, but his talent is just NBA talent. And then
he dropped
after
a lot.
He dropped a lot. He dropped a 7 to Sacramento. But after that, most of these guys have either major flaws, like Nerlens Noel is 208 pounds, or they just
216, he ate some hamburgers.
He could crack 210, yeah, if you give him a double,
a double
monkey style. All you people know what I'm talking about. In-N-Out Burger. Don't eat too many of them. Not,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not so good for you to eat too many burgers. But so the rest of the guys in this draft really are role players. So they may be starters, but I don't know that any of them – I mean, I don't know that this draft projects to have that many all-stars. Next year might just be the draft, you know, the best draft in
of all drafts,
10 years,
yeah.
10, 15 years. But – you know, this draft right now, so if you're looking
a
for
lot of depth,
a role player,
I do.
If
I
you're
do
looking for a role
depth.
Player, then go get yourself a role player. And if you think this guy, he's a freshman, he's got a motor, and I think Greg Anthony said it best, you know, most of the time when you're at that size and you can play the three or the four, you're considered a tweener. But this guy, at least offensively, can play both positions. So he's sort of a swingman that can play, you know, inside, outside. He can pick and pop. He's got a body. He can offensive rebound. He's sort of like LJ meets Elton Brand. He's that 6'7",
that's a good one.
6'8".
That's a good,
he's not tremendously athletic, but he's a basketball
but
player.
Can score and has big hands.
Yeah,
you know?
And he can score. He can run. He goes up and down the court. He can rebound. You know, he came in as a freshman for UNLV and was at 16-8. So, you know, solid pick. And I guess what they're thinking is there's no stars in this draft, so let's just fill out the roster with talented players. And, you know, they have their star, right? Their star is Kyrie Irving. So for a team picking number one, you know, adding talent, and if they believe in him, then, hey, why not? So it's growing.
I like it.
At
I
first
like
I was
it.
A little bit shocked, but it was growing on me. I, you know, to me, when in doubt, I would defer to size. You know, I would just take somebody big, whether it's Alex Len or if you believe in Nerlens.
But you know what's funny though? I would agree with you in other drafts, but in this draft, I can't opening night say, and I like Len at Phoenix, right? But I can't say opening night, I'm going to draft Len with a foot fracture and Noel with the knee. Like, I can't have both my, you know, if you say go size, like, to go with either one of those guys, and only Len is a pure center to me. Zeller and Noel are power forward. So, to me, at number one, I got to go with Bennett. I think it was such a solid pick, and I think, put it like this, they're not going to miss with him where, you know, Len and Noel, maybe they blow up and become, you know, something. Like, you know, maybe Noel's highest mark is Marcus Camby, and maybe Alex Len's highest mark is, I don't know. I mean, he could be Chris Kaman or maybe even a little better. But he's got some offensive skills, and he's young, you know, young guy. So, and,
right. Hold
and
on. I think
only
we have
started
a
playing, he's like 18.
Let's see if there's a caller who wants to talk NBA draft. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Who is it, and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. It's Mike in Pittsburgh. How are you guys doing?
Oh, hey, Mike. What's
good.
Going on?
Good. How's it going?
Not too much. Good, good. I just want to weigh in as a Celtics fan on this big trade from yesterday. I'm not upset at all. You know, obviously, it's a rebuilding project, and, you know, it's going to take some luck in the draft, you know, to get the Celtics back to even close to where they were. But I want to get more into the Brooklyn Nets roster and how it's going to shape up next year. It looks good on paper, and they do have a good bench, in my opinion. They have a lot of, you know, big guys, Blatch. They still got Evans, you know.
They do got to re-sign Blatch, but he might come back. He definitely might come back.
Here's the one weakness, and I'm comparing it to what they need to beat the Heat. I don't think they have anything on the perimeter really defensively to match up against James and Wade. I mean, you got Pierce, Joe Johnson, and not much else. Now, the one player, you know, I'm going to pull a little GM here, I would target that I think could put him over the hump to beat Miami is Tony Allen from Memphis. He's a free agent this year, and he's the perfect fit to put up against, you know, LeBron James or D. Wade, you know, in a playoff series that can match up to him defensively. Just like your guy's opinion on that, and if you think they're really close to they can take Miami down next year.
Well, you know what? The Tony Allen comments are very interesting because, you know, he obviously has played in Boston before, and he's played with Pearson and Garnett.
They can't afford him now. They can't
the
get
Nets,
him.
Yeah, the Nets are really limited in their financial ability to bring in a free agent. They did free up $10 million a year with getting rid of Gerald Wallace's contract, and that's a three-year contract for them. But the Nets are really going for it. And they're really taking a gamble that in the next two, they're basically trading, you know, three number ones to try and compete this year or next year. And, you know, Garnett, you probably get 1 year out of, maybe two. Pierce, you probably get for 2 years. So your question is win now or try to be relevant now or, you know, lose this window with Joe Johnson and, you know, Brook Lopez as your anchor. Joe Johnson, Darren Williams, and Brook Lopez as your anchors. Look, I don't love the trade from the Nets' perspective, but I don't know what else they could do. They were sort of in salary cap handcuffs, so they really needed to trade their only asset, which was Chris Humphrey's expiring contract and those number one picks. And, you know, for them to be relevant, they knew that they couldn't go far with this roster. They just had a flawed roster, and you saw that losing to the Bulls without Derrick Rose, and they were stuck in that 4th, 5th, 6th seed in the East. So they had to make a move. I actually like what Danny Ainge did. We'll get into that later, but I like what Danny Ainge did. Look, he saw the writing on the wall. He got a first-rounder for his coach. He got three first-rounders for his two stars. He traded them within the Atlantic, which nobody thought he would do. But you know what? Boston's in a total rebuild. I like the Nets. I like the fact that they're going for it. I don't know that this makes them better, though, than Miami or Chicago. Maybe it makes
them or Indiana.
Better than the Knicks in Indiana, maybe, on paper. But they're still third, fourth, fifth in the East. But what it does do, it gives them a chance in the playoffs. It gives them a chance. At least you look at their roster and you say they have a chance. Even against the Heat, with the experience of Garnett and Pierce having beaten LeBron, they have a chance. I definitely don't consider them favorites.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Mike.
Well, let me just tell you real quick. What they're looking to do is they're probably going to re-sign Blatch. They kept in the trade because in the original trade, Evans was going to be in it, and they switched it out for Chris Joseph and Marshawn Brooks, and they're keeping Sangala and Evans. So you have Evans, you have Jason Terry, you've got the point guard from Kansas, Taylor. They're looking to probably sign cheap with the veterans minimum, Kyle Korver, who could help as a shooter. As perimeter defense, there's no way they can sign Allen because they don't have the cap room. You brought over Pierce and Garnett, who, you know, put you so far over the cap now, it's ridiculous. And then also, they might bring in Jason Collins, who, you know, just to get another big. But I think the Nets will be hard for them, and they'll just need Pierce and Joe Johnson to step up defensively. But just like Miami, how people want to take, like, less money or no money or veterans minimums to play with LeBron, just maybe this season and next season you could get a veteran player to, you know, potentially say, okay, I'm not going to take money and play 1 year, you know, with the Nets. So.
Well, I hope they're not bringing in Collins just for the simple reason they feel like they have to because of, you know, all the...
Not at all. This owner wants to win.
But what has Jason Collins done? I mean, I'm a Celtics fan, and I watched him play, you know...
No. He's not a great player, but if you're just saying, okay, I need a fifth big... right? I've got Garnett. You got to remember, Garnett's not going to play heavy minutes during the season. So sometimes, just like the Spurs rest Duncan and Ginobili, well, you got to put bodies on the floor and play 7-8 deep if Garnett's only playing 25 minutes February 10th, right? So that means Reggie Evans has got to play. You don't know if they can re-sign Blatch. Maybe they do. Maybe Blatch is like, hey, I'm like J.R. Smith. I had a good year. I'm going to go get a payday now and go to Atlanta or, you know, one of these teams that have a lot of cap space and get some money. So, you know, Collins is not a definite, but I agree with you. He hasn't done that much his whole career, let alone recently. But
right,
if you have to fill up, you know, space and time.
Yeah, Plumlee's your athletic big and then, you know, deep on the bench, and then Collins could be your – you know, just size for practice, for just in case of injury, just to get you through the 82-game season. The other thing to think about, Mike, is also with the Nets, is the coach, Jason Kidd, right? Jason Kidd is going to be interesting because he was a teammate of Jason Terry's when they won a championship. He's played with these guys throughout his career, and now he's got to coach these guys. And if you think about it, they have some issues with their roster in terms of Deron Williams and Joe Johnson don't seem to be a great fit in the backcourt together. So we got to see if Jason Kidd is able to bring the most out of this roster. Because, again, I think Billy King did a fair job of giving him talent, and now it's a matter of him getting the most out of that talent and making a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, definitely. But, hey, look, the Celtics are rebuilding, and maybe by the trade deadline, the Celtics maybe even drop Rondo. You never know.
That's a good question. I don't know that they get the most for him yet because everybody's going to reserve judgment on how he comes back from his ACL injury until they see him play, right? Look at the difference between Iman Shumpert and Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose took a full year, and still we haven't seen him on the court, and Iman Shumpert was back, 9-10 months after the injury. So I think that for them to get the most value, I think he'll probably be a trade deadline, sort of a January-February trade for the Celtics. I don't know that Danny Ainge wants to get rid of him for less than what he perceives to be his you know, true market value.
No.
He'll wait on that.
It's too much talent to just, if they move him, it will be for real stuff, not for nothing. Because, I mean, the reality is they've got a lot of young, you know, with Sellinger, Kelly Olynyk in the draft, and then you've got, you know, Rondo, Marshawn Brooks, get Chris Joseph back. You know, I think it's kind of interesting what, you know, what they have and what they're doing, and Courtney Lee and those guys. And, you know, we thank Mike for the call or whatever. We know he's a big Cowboy fan, so also now we know he's a Celtics fan. So let's go back. I will say this. Now we open up at number two for Orlando to potentially trade Aaron Aufalo and get Eric Bledsoe. And I would like Bledsoe and Oladipo in the backcourt. Maybe a little smaller, but definitely energy, aggressive, defensive. What would you think about that in terms of what the Magic might do?
I loved Eric Bledsoe as a sixth man with the Clippers. I'm fearful, though, that he is not a 30-35-minute-a-game starter, you know, a guy that you build your franchise around. So I would be hesitant to make this – well, now that they have Oladipo, it makes a lot more sense, right? Aufalo and Oladipo play the same position. But I wouldn't – I think he's a good player. I think he's a very solid player, Eric Bledsoe. But I think when you play more minutes and you play those 35 minutes a game, your flaws get exposed. And, you know, he's 6'1". He's athletic. He does everything pretty well. So I like him. I don't love him. I don't think he's the answer to any big, you know, championship run. I think he's a solid player. And I guess now that they have Oladipo, they're able to bring him in. They got some size up front. I really liked, you know, we talked about potentially them getting a guy like an Otto Porter. But you know what? Oladipo seems to be potentially a two-way player, good motor, athlete, seems like a good kid.
Yeah,
coachable
and they're
kid,
starting from scratch, you know, right?
They're
Magic are
starting
from scratch.
So maybe that's the
right
guy.
He's the right guy
to
get in that system.
Jameer Nelson is, you know, he's had his time there. It's time to move on and get another point guard to run that show. So I don't mind it. Shake it up a little bit, you know. You're a little upset that the number two pick in the draft, you know, I know you love him, Oladipo, but you're thinking to yourself, one, two, three, four. These aren't guys that you build your franchise
on.
These are serviceable players, right? These are players that you hope have, you know, a 5-10 year pro career.
Right. I'll tell you one thing I did like, right? I mean, you know, looking at what the Wizards did, you know, getting Otto Porter and then later on, you know, trading their second round picks to get from Philly Glenn Rice Jr. I think with Wall, Beal, and Porter at your 1, 2, and 3, Trevor Ariza is opting in on his option, so he's going to stay with Nene and Okafor. And then I like, you know, Glenn Rice Jr. off the bench. They might re-sign Webster. I think that, you know, health is the key for this team. You know, last year, not only Wall was out, and, you know, when he came back towards the end, they were like, you know, what, like 18 and 10. They had a good record towards the end. But, you know, Nene and Okafor were out for a bit. And I think Otto Porter, not just defensively, but offensively, he's a tall three. You know, and sticking to threes in the NBA, when you're playing against Durant, Melo, and LeBron, I think Porter, you know, only 200, he'll beef up a little, but I think it's the right move. You know, Georgetown, he goes right over to Washington, plays in his home arena where he played a lot of his games. And I think the Wizards did the right thing. You know, I think he was the best guy for them.
In our mock draft, I had him going there, and I told you I thought that the Wizards were holding their fingers. You know, when Anthony Bennett went number one, I thought they were ecstatic, the Wizards, because they're like even more opportunity for, you know, even more likely, I should say, that Otto Porter will fall to us. I love their 1-2-3 with, you know, Wall, Beal, and Porter. I think they give you athleticism. They're all pretty big. They're long. They can run up and down. They can shoot a little bit, or at least Bradley Beal can shoot. John Wall's kind of developing his shot. And the best thing about Porter is that he seems to have a great attitude, and he's a low-maintenance player. So
yeah.
He's a young kid, local, you know, Georgetown product. Love it. Love that pick. So
great story,
kudos.
Too, man. I was telling you last night off the air about how his parents both played basketball, were, you know, high school, like, legends, you know, in Indiana, I guess. And they kept him out of the whole AAU thing. And the story is that Nike had invited him to come to the high school senior camp or whatever just because they wanted to know who this guy was. They heard the name and didn't know who he was. They invited him, and the rest is history. Great story, and I just wish Otto Porter, you know, Jr. well. And I'd like, finally, I think Michael Jordan got him some offense in Cody Zeller at 7 foot, who at 230 is a real power forward, not a center, but I think he will excel from the Indiana program. And great for Indiana, right? Two of the top four picks are from the Indiana Hoosiers. So IU alum, stand up. And I think Cody Zeller is going to shine in the Charlotte Bobcats, Hornets, whatever they're going to make themselves be.
Really? I disagree with that.
Right.
You know, I've been down on him since he was preseason player of the year. I went and saw him a few times, and I said, this guy is talented.
But project out.
Don't
look at just this. Don't look at just what he did at Indiana. You know, a lot of guys, the college game is very different, and what you're asked to do is very, very different in college, you know what I mean, compared to the NBA game. Think about his skill set. You know, he's got good footwork, he's athletic.
He's footwork and he's athletic, yes, but to me he doesn't rebound his position. He gets shoved off the block a little too much. Now, he can get bigger, he can get stronger, but he's going to have to work on the fact that he's athletic and he's got good hands and he can run up and down the court. But to me, again, you come back to a Charlotte Bobcat team that for the last, since Adam Morrison draft pick, really hasn't picked anybody of marquee impact, and they've been in the lottery. You know what they're becoming to me? I hate to say this. They're becoming Elgin Baylor's L.A. Clippers, where they just pick a bunch of players that just aren't that good. And, you know,
why are you going below the belt?
Well, you know, I call it like I see it. It was Adam
Morrison. I'm joking.
And it was, you know, Kemba Walker and Gerald Henderson. And
Bismack Biyombo.
Bismack Biyombo. And this kid, Byron Mullins, who actually turns out to be decent. I think he's pretty solid. but these guys, where Michael Kidd Gilchrist, you know, TBD, but where is in the last six or seven drafts? But in the last six or seven drafts, where is the guy you're building around? Where is the anchor of your team? I mean, they just
have a bunch of okay players.
They have a bunch of guys that fill out rosters. They have a bunch of fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth men on NBA rosters.
Let me ask you this. Do you think they should have taken a shot at Noel here? And I really am not a big Noel guy, but do you think they should have taken a shot being that they have Patrick Ewing on their staff? He's a great shot blocker. Maybe he could have been sort of taught to – I don't think he'd ever be a center, but taught to be this, like a very great defensive power forward in the NBA that, you know, which is important to, you know, help block shots and you know, the defensive end.
You know, I wouldn't have minded that pick. Take a chance. You're a terrible team. You've been a terrible franchise since your inception. Take a chance on a guy that projects to be a – you may strike out. You may swing and miss. But take a chance on a guy that projects to be a star, a guy that can make an impact. Now, if Nerlens Noel makes an impact, it will only be on the defensive side of the court. So it'll be at least for the first 5 years of his career, right? So at best he's, you know, Marcus Camby, or he's Theo Ratliff, or he's somebody like that, a kind of a slim big man who makes an impact defensively and maybe towards the middle of his career develops.
You had to bring out the Theo Ratliff reference. I like that, Ray. Going to the tuba. Okay, Okay. Well, before we get to Phoenix and five, I just want to sort of mix it up a little and jump around. I want to ask you this. I just was going back and I'm looking at, you know, different mock drafts on the internet and people and stuff like that. And I want to ask you, real quick, a shout out to our boy, Edgar Burgos. He had been, you know, saying the Knicks would take Hardaway Jr. So I got to give Edgar his props and love. And, you know, he said, the Knicks worked him out. I saw the workout. It was great. So he really likes Hardaway Jr. So, you know, big, you know, number 24, and we'll get to the Knicks. Big shout to Edgar. He definitely predicted it, and, you know, all that love for the – I think the Knicks had a great pick. But let me ask you this. For the guys who did not make it tonight, and we know NBA, Summer League starts, I think, July 8th to the 15th or something like that. And so there's a couple of talented guys that will, you know, undrafted guys that will, you know, go to rosters and try to make it on some of these different teams. And I just want to ask you about a couple and what do you think their chances are and maybe where they could possibly go to make it. You've got Trevor Mbakwe, right, who didn't get picked.
We
liked him from Minnesota. His teammate Rodney Williams, right, who could shoot a little. Kenny Kaji from Miami. James Sutherland from Syracuse. I like that shooting ability, and we know in the NBA that sometimes Gary Neal or – Danny Green, just a pure shooter, is definitely needed, right? And then for me, you know, my favorite guy I've been talking to you about, who I think, you know, his teammate was drafted, props to Lorenzo Brown, but CJ Leslie, right? I know that he didn't, you know, ever fulfill all that potential, but he did show, you know, some moments. But to me, at 6'9", you know, 210, 215, plays the 3 and 4, his talent is, I think, he's an NBA talent. And what do you think about those guys? Just give me a couple of thoughts about them. And I think Leslie, hey, I would love the Knicks to even take him and bring him in and invite him. I like CJ Leslie.
Okay. Well, you know Mike Woodson likes to defend, so I'm not sure CJ Leslie is going to be in the Knicks camp anytime soon. But the other guys you mentioned, for sure. Well, I'll get to CJ Leslie because he was disappointing. That whole NC State team was disappointing because he was supposed to be the ACC, you know, potentially ACC player
and
of the year.
And Ray, and real quick, throw in Illinois' guard, Brandon Paul, 6'4", 200, wasn't drafted.
And this was a draft where a lot of guards went. And so this was a very draft-heavy or a guard-heavy draft. But I would say that if you can shoot – and if you have size, you
like
always
Sutherland.
Have a chance. Even to make a 10-day contract, to make an appearance at some point coming up from the MBDL and signing on and catching on and making a roster. So guys like Kenny Kaji's got some size. A guy like Sutherland's got some decent size. You know, these guys that are tall and can shoot, you know, especially now in the league where they're playing a lot of zones and there aren't great straight shooters in the league.
And pick and roll heavy offense where you need shooters.
Pick and roll, then you just do slide it into a pick and pop, or you've got a low post guy like a Tim Duncan, you surround him with 3-4 shooters. So I do think that that's the one thing about this NBA is that it's almost better to be outstanding
at one thing
and have major flaws in the rest of your game than to be good at a lot of things. So that's where a guy like C.J. Leslie comes in, where, you know, he's good. He can run up and down the court. He's got some offensive
skills. Is he Derek McKee?
He can grab the rebound.
Yeah.
Derek McKee was a defender. Stacey Augmon was a defender. So at the very least, you knew you were getting defense out of them. And then when you think, oh, he might have a bad attitude and he might not, you know, his motor might not be on all the time. Ooh, I think NBA teams are going to – they'll work him out, but I don't know if they're you know, willing to put up with that. If he did one thing great, if he defended or if he shot great or if he was, you know, a particularly, you know, savvy, you know, ball handler or something, you know, where you could point to an exceptional skill, I would say he's got more of a chance. But you know what? You're right. The guy is talented, and the guy's 6'8". So, and he played in the ACC for several years. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets invited, and if he even does some good work in Vegas in the NBA.
Summer League. Yeah. Well, it's frustrating, and I'll just say this: not to knock the Memphis Grizzlies, but at 60, you take Giannis Tima at 6'8", you know, 226, you know, the guy is from Latvia, and you know, a kid who probably might not ever come over here, doesn't look like he's got so much of a great game. And to me, I'm just thinking, wow, you know, guys that are in college here in America who have played some big-time ball, you know, even the Mike Mbango kid, Brandon Paul, C.J. Leslie, I mean, Sutherland. You can't tell me that Memphis Grizzlies couldn't use a shooter like Sutherland when, you know, right now Tayshaun Prince at the small forward, you know, which could be Sutherland's position. Tayshaun Prince is getting older and, you know, is not going to play crazy minutes. You know, I just get that stuff, type of stuff pisses Tay off, and you know that. I just have to rant about that.
Yeah, the GMs like this uncertainty, right? These 19-year-old kids from France that are, you know, 190 pounds at 6'8", but have a decent wingspan. And, you know, at the end of the day,
and a scout goes and sees them like once or twice. It's like, it's retarded.
Right. And there's also this notion of stashing a guy on your roster and keeping his rights. So that I can understand.
You don't have to pay the money right away. Yeah.
Right, you don't have to pay them money right away. You let them develop in Europe, and if they turn out to be a player, great. And if they don't, then that's okay too. You didn't pay any money for him. You just maintained his rights. So it's a little bit of a game that they play, and just like there's an NBDA here in the U.S., there's, you know, European pro leagues, especially for the 18, 19-year-olds that get drafted. So we'll see. Although there do look like a few international people that could come over here and do some work. I mean, everybody's talking about
Gerhard
Schroeder,
and
he looks like he's going to come into the league, athletic point guard who can run up and down. And then, you know, a few of these guys, the French kids, the couple of French kids, a Brazilian
guy
looks like he's at least got some, you know, the wingspan.
Lucas with the fro.
Guys.
I love Lucas.
But what's
Lucas
up? They don't feed
the
these guys? They don't feed these guys? Like, why are all these guys so skinny? They don't feed these guys.
Hey, they're young
and
playing basketball. Let me ask you this, right? Let's get to, you know, sort of five, six, and seven. So Phoenix, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Kings. Okay, these three franchises in the West, they got a long way to go to try to make the playoffs in a tough Western Conference. They go with three guys that could have gone 1, 2, and 3 in any order. Len to Phoenix. The Pelicans get Noel, right, and then trade him to the Sixers. So he's at Philly. And we'll talk about that trade for Jrue Holiday. And then the Kings get Ben McLemore. I want to ask you, out of sort of those three, and I guess we got to sort of erase New Orleans, because they get Jrue Holiday. That changes their team a lot. I like that. And Pierre Jackson comes over there with them. But Phoenix and Sacramento, do you like Len and McLemore? I really love them, but I just think for me, Phoenix at five, unless they just are going to lose Gortat or try to get something for him. Len and Gortat, and we said this off air, and you really pointed it out, they're sort of the same guy in a sense. And I do like Alex Len, and they said he's going to be healthy, you know. What do you think about it? And then Sacramento getting McLemore, who...
I actually like both of those picks a lot because of where they were, right? At five, the Suns are looking at Alex Len. If you look at the draft underneath them, the guys who were taken after were Nerlens Noel, Ben McLemore, Caldwell Pope, Burke, McCollum, Carter Williams. So you got a bunch of guards and then Steven Adams and Olynyk, you know, a couple of big men. So basically you're talking about point guard or big men. And they've already got Goran Dragic in Phoenix, and I like him. And
yeah,
I like his game.
I like him too.
So to me, you take the best player available, and if that best player has size, even better. And like you said, Gortat, after this year, is going to be a free agent. So I don't have a problem with them taking Len. He's 19 years old. Maybe he's the guy that you build around. Look, Marcin Gortat is a nice player, but
he's not great, right?
I don't know if Alex Len is, but I don't mind taking a chance on him. And then Sacramento turning around at number seven and taking my guy, Jay Williams, and he, you know, presents him to be the, you know, it was saying he could be a number one overall pick, and talent wise,
yeah, Seth Davis liked him there too. Yeah.
His upside is probably the best, and he's my pick for Rookie of the Year, just like you got Dame Lillard, and you called it.
Okay.
From, you know,
you
from
call it
jump.
Early. Ray's going early. June 28th. Put it down. We'll
it
throw
early.
It on the site. Ray,
you know
Ray.
Why? He's in a formula to be Rookie of the Year. He's on a bad team, and he's going to jack
with
up a
bunch
a lot
of knuckleheads,
shots.
Though.
So
it's not a great formula.
Well, if he gets the minutes and if he gets the green light, Ben McLemore will average 18 a game, and he'll be the rookie.
You're right about that, but I just don't know about that Kings roster. Who's going to stay? I mean, you've got you know, all these guys that play, you know, sort of the same position, and Tyreek Evans, and then you know, the other twos and threes they got. They gotta blow
out
it up.
They gotta figure out what they're doing with the big man Cousins.
You know what?
Really,
did you hear
like
the rumors about Cousins
Isaiah
maybe being
Thomas
traded to the Knicks
for
Chandler? Would you do like a combination or something? I don't know. That'd be interesting.
I mean, the problem is he's so enticing. His talent is so so enticing. But with the talent, you get all the baggage. I don't know. Maybe, you know what? It would have to come down to your belief that your coach. It's almost like football, right? All these players with the off-the-field issues, but every coach thinks, oh, I could turn this guy around. I could get the most out of him. I could get him to forget all of his off-the-field
problems. If I was the Knicks, I'd be willing to take that chance because I think with Chandler, Amari, and Melo, you know sort of who you are. You've seen it. You've seen who they are. I think Cousins is younger, and you can sort of work. I think he needs a coach like Woody. Woody did a lot with J.R. Smith. I think he could get to this knucklehead and be like, listen, you know, I think Cousins, even though it's
New York.
No, I know. Listen, you get him a nice condo in Jersey and tell him to chill out. Only come over when it's time to play. But wait, let's get to this. Let's get to this New Orleans Sixer trade because at number six, Noel is like, oh, it's going to be a block party, him and Anthony Davis, you know, Kentucky alum. And then, like, 2 minutes later, the poor kid is all upset because he's, you know, he's getting traded. I think, you know, the Sixers, I mean, basically it's Drew Holiday for Noel and a 2014 number one pick. So I guess, and, you know, Pierre Jackson goes over too. So let me ask you, do you think New Orleans robbed the Sixers? And then I also, at 11, they get Michael Carter-Williams. So the Sixers have Noel, Michael Carter-Williams, and then New Orleans gets Pierre Jackson and Drew Holiday.
So basically the Sixers said, we don't like Drew Holiday because we're trading Drew Holiday and
who's a 23-year-old all-star.
Right. Drew Holiday and the pick for Carter-Williams, Noel, and next year, a shot at what, like we said, what might be the best draft since 2003 when it was, you know, LeBron, Darko, Wade, Carmelo.
And smart for
Bosh,
Philly, right?
Wade.
Smart for them because New Orleans probably won't make the playoffs even still with Drew Holiday.
Right. So at the end of the day, I can't put the final grade on that trade until I know who that 2014 pick is. But I don't understand why shake it up and why get rid of Drew Holiday, though. I mean, he's your man. What? You know, to me, 23 years old. He was an all-star for the first time. He was, what, 19 and almost 9 assists a game. So
yeah,
I don't understand why they broke it up. Maybe they figured, you know, in a year or two he's going to want a big, big contract and they don't want to pay him, maybe.
Yeah.
He might want to leave Philly. Maybe they knew something that we didn't know. But you know what?
Man.
Right now, great TBD for Philly, but you got to like it for New Orleans, right?
Definitely.
Now, this hurts your boy Grievous Vasquez, though.
But he'll be the best backup point guard in the NBA. How about that?
Yeah. No, he'll be a very, very nice,
very,
solid point guard. In fact, if they might, you could argue he's a borderline starter, right? So maybe somebody who needs a point guard. What did he end up, third or fourth in the league in assists, something like that? So maybe they trade Grievous Vasquez because Drew Holiday's young, and you can get a cheaper backup, and then maybe you get yourself a small forward or somebody that can help you.
I think the guy you trade in that mix, right, because let's look at it now. So they have Holiday, Vasquez, Ben Gordon, and Austin Rivers. I think the guy that you can get the most for is probably Gordon, if someone wants to take on his contract.
He's
somebody
got that big contract. Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
he's got the contract.
How about somebody like the Hawks or the Mavericks, who are going to need to acquire talent? Now, the Mavericks and all their trading and everything last night, because they didn't want to pay first-round money, they do wind up with Shane Larkin, right? But the Mavericks, you know, they're not going to bring back Collison or Mayo. So, you know, maybe Gordon winds up, you know, or Monte Ellis winds up in Dallas. But there's a lot of teams in this free agency period that, you know, we'll be talking about next week, and maybe we'll get some guests on to discuss it. But, you know, it starts, you know, from Monday, July 1st, and then, you know, everybody's official the 10th. So, you know, we don't know what, you know, Dallas is going to wind up, you know, doing in terms of, and every, you know, they're freeing up everything to try to get Howard. And it looks like Dwight Howard, who we always have to discuss, is probably going to leave L.A. and go to one of the Texas teams, Houston or Dallas.
Which
kind
makes
of tired
life
of talking
very
about Dwight Howard.
It's about time to start talking about him again. Look,
it's
I think this will be resolved pretty quickly. This will be resolved in a week or 10 days. Because you know, you can start signing those free agents on the 10th, and then
you think he goes
drag it out, right? Dwight Howard is going to be, it looks like, on a Texas team. Now, if he goes to Houston, does that mean that Omer Asik, and there's either a straight release him or a sign and trade, but does that mean Omer Asik then goes back to the Lakers, or how does that work?
What's so funny? I don't know. You know, the signing trade rules have changed, so I don't know how that is all going to work out. But I will say this. I think with their other cap space, because they're trying to trade Thomas Robinson. They couldn't trade him last night for a first-round pick in the, you know, teens or 20s. But I think that they might have enough cap space to put a Sheik on the bench. I'm not sure, though.
Really? That's
You might be right. You might be right that they might do the deal where a Sheik and somebody else goes back for Howard. Which, put it like this, the Lakers better hope so. Because I heard Chris Broussard, you know, who was on ESPN, I heard him say that the Lakers would basically lose him for nothing. So Houston and Dallas might have enough space. Because remember, Houston, they did sign, you know, they have Harden, Jeremy Lin, and Asik, but the rest of the guys were, you know, all like one-year deals. And draft
okay,
picks.
So Daryl Morey,
you know,
he's got a
picks.
Plan
yeah.
over there. And look, the Lakers, at first I thought they had to keep Howard, and I still think they do. But let's say they don't, and let's say they don't get anything from him. They get his money next year, and then at the end of next year, so at this time when the 2014 NBA free agents are out there, they get Pau Gasol coming off the books too. So they could trade his expiring contract at $19 million, or they could just let him come off the books. And by the way, Kobe comes off the books. Now, you lose all your talent, but you also lose everybody except for Steve Nash. You don't have any roster commitments. And L.A.'s always been a destination. So you can –
okay,
you
so you think LeBron? Let me ask you this. What if Kobe gets healthy and he just stays around one more year? What if Kobe and LeBron played together?
Well, he can opt out in 2014.
Woo! goodness. You talk about exciting and a ticket draw. We'll just throw that out there. But, you know, real quick, as we're going down in the show, let's talk about, we got another sort of bigger trade, a big trade that sort of went down, maybe the third biggest trade of the night. And you mentioned there were a bunch. But so Utah at 9. They, you know, basically Minnesota switches their 9 for Utah's 14 and 21. Utah winds up with the point guard they need because they're not going to bring back Mo Williams or Jamal Tinsley. Maybe they keep him as a backup. And they get Trey Burke. Good player. I like him. I think he could be, you know, a top 15 point guard. He could be just as good, if not, you know, maybe potentially better than a Raymond Felton for the Knicks. Trey Burke can do the pick and roll. He can shoot. He's smart. He's savvy. He's clutch. But what did you think about what Minnesota got out of it? Really, you know, 9 for 14 and 21, I think, is great. And when you looked at who they finally wound up with, I don't think you would trade Trey Burke for Shabazz Muhammad and Gorgui Dieng.
No,
and I think the Timberwolves got a steal there.
I love it for Minnesota, and good for them. For years of also fumbling and bumbling, you know, Kevin Love fell in their lap, so good for them. Actually, they traded Kevin Love for O.J. Mayo, so actually that was a great trade for them on draft night. So that was a good move. But they, you know, in the same draft, they drafted Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn, and everybody's like, what is David Kahn doing? So he's gone. The new era's in. Love it. Like you said, would you have told me before the draft that I would give you, you know, it's like Gilbert Godfrey. What can I put in this hand that can make you forget about this hand, right? So would you trade Trey Burke for Gorgui Dieng?
Is that our first Gilbert
Shabazz
Godfrey
Muhammad
reference on our show? I think that
with Eddie Murphy.
That's great.
So absolutely. So I think Minnesota did great to get Shabazz Muhammad, who's got, you know, an NBA motor. You know, his game is not pure, but he's a lefty. He's 6'5", 6'6". He can play bigger than...
He can score. He'll score in the NBA.
He can score. And Gorgui Dieng, who's got some decent offensive skills and obviously can man the paint, rebound, block a few shots.
Very underrated player, I think. Yeah.
I love it.
And Ray,
15 and 21.
At 52... Yeah, and then at 52, they get Lorenzo Brown from NC State, 6'5 point guard who's 190 and developing and can play a little too. I love it. I think Minnesota, to me, is one of the best teams, you know, if we, you know, start to, you know, give some grades, and maybe we'll do that a little bit today and Monday. But I'll say this, you know, as we run down, I just want to mention, so we already said Brooklyn got Mason Plumlee, nice pick. The Pacers, solid, right, at 23. Solomon Hill, the Arizona kid, 6'7". Very solid and might have gotten lost on that roster and that team. But, I, you know, with Coach Sean Miller, I like Solomon Hill for them. But I think the Knicks at 24, we got to talk a little New York hoops, baby. Tim Hardaway Jr., 6'6". We know the pedigree, 200 pounds. I think a pure two. He can't play the three. What do you think about Hardaway Jr.? I think that was a great pick for them. Fell into their lap,
you know,
really.
I wanted size, and you know I wanted the Knicks to pick some size. But given where they picked, where you had, you know, the guys after them, Reggie Bullock, Andre Roberson, you know, they do have this kid, the Rudy Gobert that the Nuggets pick and ended up, you know, all those trades. Archie Goodwin and the other international players. So, look, at that point, he's a solid pickup because you got to figure J.R. Smith is gone. You got to figure perimeter is a need for the Knicks, right? You figure that they've been getting away with these 3-point guard rotations. Well, Jason Kidd is gone. Prigioni's 34, 35. Raymond Felton's not even that young. So at the end of the day, you need guards. The Knicks need guards. They also need size. But if you tell me size is not around, especially late first round, then go get yourself a guard. Go get yourself a guy who can play the perimeter. A wing athlete can never be bad. You know, Iman Shumpert is our only real wing athlete. So let's go. I at this point, you know, when you're picking that late in the first round, I think it was a solid pick. I mean, like I said, I prefer size, especially given that Amari's had to play the center position and some kind of rotation, and also have to have a succession plan for if you do want to trade Tyson Chandler, his contract's up. So at the end of the day, preferred size, but I really don't have a problem with that pick. I'm totally fine with the Tim Hardaway Jr. pick. Now, what does his father do? Does his father now root for the Knicks?
Yeah, man. You got to listen. Let me tell you. Being a father of two boys, I got to say, you're rooting for your son, man. You're rooting for
right.
your kid. So
yeah,
I definitely say this.
Everything.
But, yeah,
everything.
But some quick hitting points of, I think, some teams that did well. Number one, this is quiet as kept. At 34, the Rockets had their one pick. They got Isaiah Cannon. And I think he could house Jeremy Lin's spot. And I think it's 6 feet, 190. I think he at Murray State he's nasty. We saw him in a tournament. Isaiah Cannon played some great ball. I like him. I think your guy, Ben McLemore, and Ray McCollum, who played at Detroit, a great recruit. He can play, you know, the one, even the two a little, but he's more of a one. But him and McLemore, Ray McCollum played at Detroit for his dad, Sacramento in the second round. I like that. The Pistons, Tony Mitchell from North Texas, and Kartavius Caldwell-Pope, who we didn't mention in the first round, I think the Pistons did good. And the Blazers, Ray, I think Portland Trailblazers got your boy Whiffy. They traded with Cleveland, got Alan Crabb, who we liked from Cal.
Cal, yeah.
Yeah, and I think
the
Blazers.
Let me ask you about the first round pick. What did you think about at number 10, mm-hmm. the Blazers getting C.J. McCollum? Now, they
exactly.
already have your boy, Woo! Rookie of the Year.
But they could play together. That's what I like. I think, you know what that is? That's Isaiah and Joe Dubars right there, homie.
You like that?
Yes, sir. Yes, I do. C.J. McCollum is nasty. Yeah,
right. So,
and Matthews.
Give you a little different look. They got so those two are small. C.J. McCollum, 6'3", sort of a combo guard, and then you got Nick Batum and Wesley Matthews. So they've got an interesting
Whiffy.
Set of players on the wing, and then LaMarcus Aldridge and Whiffy up front. So that's an interesting.
And then the Grant Jarrett, 6'10" kid. They drafted Grant Jarrett from Arizona, who was young and talented. I think, you know, he was the freshman at Arizona. I think the Blazers had one of the best drafts.
Okay. What do you
I really do.
Hawks? What do you think about the Hawks? They had those two picks back-to-back, 17 and 18.
Oh, the
and
trades.
They ended up keeping Schroeder
rounded up with
from Germany
right.
and then trading Shane Larkin. So
right, and they
great,
also
great
wound
Danny
up with
Perry's job.
Yeah, I don't know what all the guys they wound up with. This Lucas kid from Brazil, if he's going to stay, Lucas Nogueira, if he stays the seven-footer with the afro, I liked him. I think the Hawks are I think they're trying to maybe do it the OKC Spur way. I think that you just don't know what's going to be in their final product. I'll tell you this, a sleeper team too, you know, with Derrick Rose coming back, the Bulls get Tony Snell, who could score, and then in the second round, Eric Murphy, you know, and Bill Simmons
Florida,
gave us
yeah.
the entourage, you know, mentioned there with Eric Murphy. I thought that was kind of funny. So I think the Bulls, quiet as kept, did okay, too. Real quick, one other minor trick.
Well, what do you think about the Thunder?
No, definitely. I just wanted to tell you, the Nuggets traded Kostas Kufis, who started a lot for them at center, over McGee, to the Grizzlies for Darrell Arthur, and then one of those second-round picks.
Okay.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. I think I like Darrell Arthur at the Nuggets. I thought that was really good. OKC, it turns out that they traded Harden for that was a mess. I mean, they might not re-sign Kevin Martin. And then who did they get at that pick for Harden at 12? Steven Adams.
They ended up getting Steven Adams, the center from Pitt. So you know, played one year.
And we
year
both
as
picked
freshman.
That in our mock draft. Yeah, he's such a project. I mean, a lot of times I watched him at Pitt in Big East games. He looked lost, but he looks like, you know, one of, 16 kids or something crazy or something ridiculous, 12 kids, 9 kids. He's very athletic. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, again, they still got Jeremy Lamb and Percy Jones III on their bench. Are any of these three going to play? If anything, I like the Celtics getting Kelly Olynyk. I like the Celtics getting Kelly Olynyk at 13. I think he's a good, you know, athletic big guy. You know, that was one of my favorite picks of the night, except for what, you know, Minnesota did and some of these guys. Milwaukee said they're keeping the Glanis kid over in Greece. But he's 18, and he looks like he's got a lot of talent, and, you know, he'll come over there eventually, you know?
What'd you think about our boys in Carolina, Reggie Bullock, going to the Clippers right after the
Doc Rivers worked him out at Boston, and I think Reggie Bullock is a good fit for them, right? I mean, they're losing Grant Hill. You know, they're going to probably lose some of their other players, you know, Willie Green maybe, and, you know they'll still have Crawford. Chauncey Billups is gone, so I think Bullock will slowly develop with a nice veteran team, and he'll get some open shots when you got Blake and Chris Paul around you, you know. So, and then OKC later on, they wind up, you know, with all the different trades, they did get the Andre Roberson kid at 6'7". I don't know what you think about him, the Colorado kid. So maybe he you know, could be a nice little athlete. And the Lakers, with their one pick, Ray, what did you think about them drafting Ryan Kelly in the second round?
Well, it's funny because he looks like he could be a Mike D'Antoni player in the sense that he's the one of those stretch fours a la, you know, Ryan Anderson. And when he was at the, when he could actually play, I don't know what happened to him at the end of his career, but, you know, our boy who made his fame in Seattle and then went to Orlando, our boy Rashard Lewis. Different game, but a stretch four, you know, a guy that can shoot, a guy that can keep defenses honest. Really,
hey, the Lakers just need some talent, right?
Yeah, they need some talent, so some people that can put the ball in the hole. You know, totally different game from a Jordan Hill. You know, probably the same size, but totally different game. Look, at the end, where the Lakers are picking, you know, you just got to get somebody. Well, it turns out that this Mike D'Antoni situation is probably going to cost them Dwight Howard. So they better figure out how to get players in there that can thrive in D'Antoni's system, because otherwise this will be a complete failed experiment on their part. So, you know, Ryan Kelly is the type of guy that potentially does fit, you know, D'Antoni's system. Not great defender, but offensively he can stretch the floor, and you know, maybe that's more in line with D'Antoni's system.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. And I think one thing that's interesting, and I'm so happy that our boy Peyton Siva was drafted. Really happy, you know, for him. And I think you know, he can be a backup point guard in the NBA. And I think he's got a winning pedigree and, you know, goes to the Pistons, who are probably going to lose, you know, Will Bynum and the other guy that they have at the guards. So, you know, Calderon's a free agent, you know, all those guys. So,
right,
I like Siva.
Well, they bring in Pope and Siva, so they definitely get some youth in there. And Pope gives them some size. Siva can give them some, you know, some athleticism, let them run up and down, press a little bit. You know, he played a lot of up and down in that Louisville system. So why not shake it up a little bit? You got to do something, you know. And this guy was riding high. Joe Dumars was riding high, you know, for his first 4 or 5 years as a GM.
And he's fallen hard.
Yeah, he's fallen hard.
Yeah, Will Bynum, Rodney Stuckey, and Bill Bynum. That was the guy. Rodney Stuckey.
Greg Monroe and Drummond, you know, turn out to be decent players to rebuild that franchise, because it might be time for, you know, for some changes in Detroit.
So two veteran college players, you know, as we're winding down here, I like this, right, towards the end of the draft at 57-58. Phoenix Suns, I like Alex Ariake, who used to play for UConn and then, you know, went to Missouri and, you know, things didn't really work out for him. So I like Alex Ariake with the Suns, you know, back up Luis Scioli at 6'9". He's a decent player, good skills. And then the Spurs, Deshaun Thomas, right? You know, I think he could have even been a first-round pick. I think he's solid. He knows how to play the game. He knows how to score. He's got savvy. He's got winning pedigree at Ohio State. And I think at 226-6, he will be a good backup three for the Spurs. And people will just be like, wow, the Spurs do it again, because he'll fit into their system.
Can you see him basically being Manu Ginobili number two? I mean, a little different game, but, you know, left-hander, 6'6", can probably give you a few minutes at the two, probably more minutes at the three, an offense-first kind of guy. But you know what? At 57, you get to pick up, or what is it, 58.
58,
you get to pick up the Big Ten's leading scorer and a guy that's a bona fide put-the-ball-in-the-basket type. Wow,
that's
pretty
scoring,
nice.
the college basketball, I think, scorer of the year and ACC scorer of the year, Eric Green. Okay, he from Virginia Tech, 6'3 guard, goes to the Jazz. I think it's smart. I think that's a good pickup, and I think the Jazz are acquiring some good talent. Green and Burke can work in their system because they're not going to keep the guards that they have, and they're not going to have much of a roster. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with Jefferson and Millsap. So, I mean, look, it was a very interesting draft. I think there'll be some depth. You know, we didn't mention in 19 the Cavs getting the Russian Sergei Karadze. He's 6'7" shooter. You know, 195, 200. He could play a little 2 and 3. And it looks like he is not going to stay in Russia. He's going to come and play for the Cavs. So, you know, Cleveland didn't do bad. You know, Portland, Minnesota, Chicago. There's some teams that I think, you know, did okay for themselves. Detroit, Sacramento, and we'll see about Cleveland, you know.
The Pelicans got themselves Drew Holiday. No, it was interesting. Look, I think this is a draft full of depth. I don't know if there's stars coming out of this draft, especially not in the first few years, but it was fun. So thanks for listening. We had a great time. We'll be back on Monday talking some other sports. We'll diversify.
Yeah,
a little bit
of NBA free agency. It gets rolling.
Some NBA free agency.
Yeah.
We'll bring you some breaking news. So have a great weekend. Thanks for talking sports with friends. We love it.
Yeah, we'll give you some more updates on Wimbledon and stuff too, you know. That's going to be getting further along. So, great show. And thanks for listening. And have a great weekend, Ray and Tate, today. We're out talking sports with friends.
See ya.
Peace.